Welcome back to the Birthing in Finland podcast and to this episode where I welcome Inka and Laura, who work at a charity called AIMA. This is a charity aimed at dealing with perinatal mental health challenges while looking at the entire family unit as well as how to make change on a national political level. We talked about the kind of mental health challenges that the charity supports as well as how they are involved in making this national impact. Laura talked about the challenges that often face women when they try to receive help from the system here in Finland and what she thinks needs to be changed. We touched on the reasons why the Western culture has a higher rate of postnatal depression, for example, and Inka spoke on the importance of peer support in prevention as well as treatment. We ended the episode by talking about the importance of Inka's project of educating healthcare of professionals who work and come into contact with mothers daily. In this episode, we also invite you, as our listeners, non-Finnish speaking mothers who may be interested in receiving more services from AIMA in English, to please reach out to Inka and Laura to express your need for that. Their email is written below in the notes of the show. Also, please share this episode with every mother you know. It's a one-of-a-kind organization in Finland. Let's spread the word about it so people know that it exists and that they are not alone. With that, let's get started and introduce you to Inka and Laura from AIMA. Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Birthing in Finland podcast. Today is a really, really special episode with a charity that I have been really eager to invite onto the podcast called AIMA. And today I have with me Laura and Inka representing the charity. So to get us started on this episode, I would like to invite Laura and Inka to introduce themselves and the organization to our listeners before we jump into the topic. Hi, Laura.
Hello. I'm Laura Piirainen and I'm executive director in AIMA. Äidit irti synnytysmasennuksesta AIMA, roughly translates as mothers away from postpartum depression. As we are a peer support organization that helps mothers with depression either during pregnancy or postpartum. Our peer supporters don't do diagnosis, but it's often easier to start talking about your feelings to another mother who has been through the same things and survived. Mm-hmm. A lot of our work is also to encourage women to get help. We also have a peer support for mothers who have experienced postpartum psychosis. And as a peer support organization, AIMA helps mothers all around Finland. Mm-hmm. We have about 60 trained volunteers around the country. And as an organization, AIMA also provides information about these illnesses and tries to have an influence on how mothers and families should be treated in Finland. Mm. Mm.
That is very special. Would you say that it's kind of one-of-a-kind organization?
Yeah, in Finland, there are other kind of organizations like in UK, but they have like separate organizations for psychosis and for bipolar or
but in Finland,
postpartum depression. We are, in Finland, we do it all.
Yeah. So really an important organization and important work that you do. Thank you for introducing it. Anything else you would like to say about yourself, or shall we move to Inka?
Well, besides work, I have two boys. My oldest one is 15 and the youngest one is 3.5. So I have, he was 6 months old when COVID hit Finland. So I have really seen what it's like to be a mother of a young child in pandemic.
Yeah, I relate to that. Mine was born in March 2020, so.
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah. Many of us are there, right? It wasn't easy, and good that that's behind us. I'm sure you had a lot of work during that time also from your organization.
Well, the others can tell about because I was on family leave at the time, but it has been really busy ever since.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, thank you and welcome to the show. Should we move on to Inka?
Yeah. Hello and thank you for inviting us. I'm Inka Kansi and I've been working in AIMA since March 2021. I'm actually an occupational therapist, but I have been working as one just a short time years ago. Before AIMA, I worked as a counselor for people with autism spectrum. I have two little boys aged 5 years and 8 months. And since becoming a mom 5 years ago, I realized that helping other parents would be something I would like to build my future career around with. Yeah. I myself went through some anxiety and exhaustion during my first child's baby year, and that's one of the reasons I'm specifically interested in maternal well-being and perinatal diseases.
Yeah.
My partner gave birth to our second child, so now I have been having the privilege of getting to experience also the role of the other parent. Yeah.
That's really interesting, yeah. A unique perspective.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that also. Okay, well, both of you, so welcome to be on this. We've been planning it for some time, so I'm so happy to be able to have you and dive into it together. Yeah, let's start with the first question. Mental health is maternal mental health, more specifically, is a broad topic within the charity. But can you tell us more on what is included in that? What mental health challenges specifically do you support people with?
Yeah. Well, almost every mom experiences some kind of fluctuations in mood after birth. It may feel like everything is making you cry, you feel irritable, anxious, and exhausted. Also, a total lack of appetite and or trouble sleeping may occur. The mood swings are often caused by changes in hormonal balance, fatigue, and the release of long-term stress. This phenomenon of feeling down, anxious, and maybe scared after pregnancy is called baby blues. The condition is very natural and even has practical functions. This condition helps the mother to adapt to a new life situation and meet the needs of the newborn baby.
Yeah.
Normally, the sentiments of feeling low fade away, usually within a few days or weeks. However, if the symptoms persist, worsen, or return, there is a chance for a case of postpartum depression. And that's when we come to the topic of maternal mental health disorders. They include a range of disorders and symptoms, including depression, anxiety, and psychosis. These disorders and symptoms can occur like during pregnancy and or the postpartum period. Together, they are often referred to as the perinatal period. These illnesses can be caused by a combination of biological, psychological, and social stressors, such as lack of support, family history, or a previous experience with these disorders. AIMA was launched with the idea that in addition to the help provided by public healthcare, peer support activities are also vital. With the help of peer support, we help mothers with depression during pregnancy or after childbirth, or mothers who have experiences postpartum psychosis. And moms don't need a diagnosis to get our help. Their own experience of exhaustion, tiredness, melancholy, or anxiety is reason enough to contact us. And we are also happy to offer counseling if mothers have something that they are wondering or would like to ask or anything. We have actually a counseling chat at our website on Tuesdays, and you can always call us.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, and in addition to helping mothers, our association also supports babies, children, partners, relatives, and other loved ones. Anyone concerned about these matters can contact us.
Yeah, This is really a good point, what you said, that you don't have to have a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Because I often hear from families like, I'm not going to ask for help because maybe someone has a worse situation than me and they need the help more, especially when it's on the public side or from a charity. So the fact that you stressed that point, that anyone is welcome and you don't have to be diagnosed, or, you know, how you said having anxiety and tiredness is enough. I mean, every mom feels tired, so... That's
and
really important.
How you know about your symptoms if you don't ask anyone? So we are here for it, because I mean, in a lot of cases, our peer supporters and are in consultation. Mothers usually know that there's something wrong, but because all the waiting times to get treatment are so long, they kind of want to discuss it with us first, and a lot of our work is to encourage them. Okay, this sounds like you need help. Yeah. Call now, because you are not getting the help right away. It takes weeks.
Yeah.
So, and in those weeks, when you are exhausted with a little baby, things can get a lot worse, and in a really quick amount of time. So. Yes. You need to start calling and try to get yourself that help before it gets too bad.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get messages from moms which say just like, I need help, I feel depressed. And then we answer them and then like start thinking about what we can do, what we can how we can help that specifically mother. And we are counseling her and telling what to do.
Because that step can be really difficult, and that's why I love that you said that there's a Tuesday chat, because even to reach out and ask for help is a challenge in those moments when you are feeling so under the waters.
True.
Yeah. So. And we also have peer support chat, like on our website. It's on certain times, but it's in Finnish and in Swedish, but. It's also a very easy way to take contact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's important that it's easy threshold and easy to access for people. Yeah, and then I also really liked how you mentioned that you support the family as a whole. Because we know obviously that the birth of a baby influences everyone, but not only that, but when a family member is having maternal or any mental health challenges, actually, the whole family is really affected.
Yeah.
So the fact that you also offer and you see the family as a whole unit is really, really impressive and important, I think.
Yeah. And a few years ago, we like had several calls from new grandmothers
who
had just become grandmothers, and they were worried that something is wrong with the new mother. And they called us.
That's fantastic.
With the conversation, usually end up that the grandmother realized she had same problems before, because if it's like hormonal, it goes from mother to daughter and so on.
Yeah.
Well, it can go. So they never knew what was wrong with them, but they are now asking help for their child who is now a mother. So
that's really touching.
Yeah, I mean, those are the best phone calls, when you can also provide information, but also you can tell her what she can do to help the new mother.
Yeah, nice. Okay. I'm going to move on to the next question, which is about the situation in Finland around these maternal mental health struggles. How does the system here in Finland support mothers, and how does AIMA have to do with that and your work with that as well?
Well, the overall situation is not that good. I mean, of course, there are areas that things are working. Mothers, their problems are noticed and they get help, and sometimes even the whole family gets help. But there are many areas around Finland that things have just gone worse after COVID, there's organization changes. And there's many factors. There's COVID. There is this change to what are those common areas and also a labor shortage. Mm-hmm. I mean, just before Christmas, there was a study that only 46% of health centers have as many nurses as there should be on maternity clinics. So if there are less than half of them have enough workers, how could they spot all the mothers who are suffering or thinking, are things getting worse? Because you need time. You need time to talk about it. These aren't the things you say at, hello, I'm having these kind of problems. You need time and you need the same person to work with the mother so they can spot that, okay, now I'm seeing you're struggling here. And Aima is actually has its 25th anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. And Aima was founded by mothers. One mother had a diagnosis that she didn't know anything about, and she wrote to a family magazine, is she the only one? And she got hundreds of replies, and that was 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And one should think that things are much better now, but there's still so much to be done. I mean, 25 years ago, people didn't know what was postpartum depression. Now we know, but there is still no treatment. And like THL, which is the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare, had just had on their website that only 40% of mothers with postpartum depression get diagnosed in Finland. Only 40%. And only 10% of them get treated well enough. So there's hundreds, thousands of mothers who don't get diagnosed or treated. I mean, there have been some recent studies that the numbers are even worse now after pandemic. Mm-hmm. And about 5,000 women before pandemic, about 5,000 women get postpartum depression. It can come to anyone. It doesn't ask your age, how much you're making money. It can come to any mother. And because the situation in Finland and in Europe, and I mean, people are getting anxiety easier, and it also shows if you are having a baby in this kind of situation, a lot of anxiety starts during pregnancy and after pregnancy you need help. And especially in the big cities, I'm not saying about it all, but there's a lot of mothers in big cities that tell that the nurses they are seeing, they are always different. They have, like, in Helsinki, there's a rule that you should meet somebody in 2 weeks. Mm. But it's always some new person. So they are trained professionals, but it's hard to see if you always see somebody as a new. And it's also much harder to the mother to talk about their feelings.
You need to build the trust.
Yes. So things aren't very good. And that is something we are really working on. And I mean, this is just like about depression. We also help mothers with psychosis. Mm-hmm. And that is because it's so rare, only one or two women for 1,000 get it. It's always a possibility that even the doctors who are treating the mother don't know what it is. And even they treat the mother, when she doesn't get the right diagnosis, she doesn't find her way to our peer support because she doesn't have the right words for it. And if there are always those possibilities when you're talking about psychosis, if they are not treated well enough, I mean, it's a life-threatening situation.
Yeah.
So,
of course, the way to treatment is to first have the correct diagnosis.
Yeah,
so when that piece is missing, then it affects everything.
Yeah, and it's especially with psychosis, it happens so fast. I mean, if you are letting the mother go home with the baby, and psychosis is getting worse, if the doctors don't understand what is going on, how would the spouse, how would the family know about it?
That's something I was going to say about the education of the family, of the partners, that they often are not even aware of how to spot it. I have a friend, I can share a little story. This is in a different country. A friend of mine, when I was living in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, they have a system which like is so blessed. I wish every country had this system, where they have a kraamzorg. It's a maternity nurse that comes to your house every day for 8 days after birth, and is just with you for 4 hours a day.
Amazing.
It really is. Yeah. I had that. I gave birth to my first daughter there. It's a public service. You pay like nothing for it. You pay, but it's quite little. It's really important. And so everything you get taught at home, they have this philosophy that the mother should go home as soon as she can from the hospital, so she doesn't stay there many, many nights. And then she gets the one-on-one care at home. And one friend of mine ended up having postpartum diagnosis and told me months later, but the person who spotted that was her maternity nurse.
Yeah. Because she knew... she saw the rapid change in the new mother.
And so having somebody who's maybe trained in that and is there day after day after day to notice the changes is so important.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's a good idea. Now I know what I'm going to talk with the politicians about.
I can send you the name. It's called Kraamzorg.
that would be very helpful.
It is. It is. It's a very, very beautiful system. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I didn't check is are the Netherlands on the list, but I mean, in the most Western countries, the situation is actually, it's really bad, like in Finland. I mean, in the statistics, if you look at the, if you look at the causes of death for mothers who have just given birth or in the next, I think it's 8 months or a year, the most common cause of death is suicide. In all Western countries, in the most Western countries, if the Netherlands has this system, maybe it's not among them. But I mean, it's so, even now it's 2023, and we know how to treat if a mother has cancer while giving birth, or if she has some rare other physical condition while giving birth, we know how to treat it. But there is no system to treat mental health issues during and after birth. Yeah. I mean, that is, but that is something that is has been realized all over the world, because World Health Organization, WHO, just launched a new guide for integration of perinatal mental health in maternal child health services. I mean, it's for every country on earth, because there are different reasons when you're talking about third world countries, but it's also in the Western countries that we don't know how to treat women's mental diseases after birth. And it's something that we are in AIMA working a lot.
Yeah.
Because there is a parliament election coming, and then this is something that WHO is asking every country should integrate these services in their systems. And now, because we are losing mothers, we are even sometimes losing babies into things that are totally treatable. I mean, they can be even easily treated if there's help quickly enough and enough help. So, I mean, that's... we always say in AIMA, we don't need to wonder why we do this work and get up every morning.
So true. So true. I relate to that.
And it's like 5 times cheaper to treat the problems in early stage than to like treat them when they are going to be very bad.
Sure. Sure. In the beginning, of course.
Yeah.
I think that's true for most illnesses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and it's like a Finnish system should go there and treat earlier. And now they're always saying that there isn't enough money, but how much more expensive it is. And well, think about the consequences for the families.
Yeah. Yeah, long-term costs, of course.
Yes.
And I appreciate that you do, part of your work is about working directly with the end user, with the moms, and at the same time working on the politics and on the policy. Because at the end of the day, the politicians and the politics are what are making a really big effect on the day-to-day life of people. Even if sometimes we don't think about it or realize the impact of the vote and the politics. So it's important work what you are doing.
Well, it's like our heritage in IMA, because IMA was founded by mothers who wanted to help other mothers. And I mean, it's really important to help all the mothers in need now, but the politics are the way to help that future mothers wouldn't have the same kind of problems. Because now there's much more information than there was 25 years ago. We know what are the effective ways to treat mothers. And I mean, we have like World Health Organization saying that Finland should do this now. So, but as I am, we are the only one with this expertise, so we need to do it all.
We're going to talk about prevention and treatment a little bit in the next question, but you mentioned the Western countries, and I wanted to ask, what do you think makes for the difference in the cultures and in the way that these countries are maybe set up? That why do we see it more in the Western cultures compared to others? What do you think is going on with that?
Well, I think maybe it's that in Western countries we are relying more that the system works and the health professionals spot the things, and you go to a hospital, you get treatment, and everything is fine. But in other cultures, there is like a few years ago, we have like these translations on our website that if you are like from Arabic cultures or Somalia or others. But I mean, years ago, like in African cultures, you may not even have postpartum depression, but because nobody left the new mother alone. There was always a community, a village, grandpa, mothers. There was always people to take care of the new mother. So things didn't get so far.
Yeah.
But it's different now, and especially in the Western country, and here in the North, where it's like you should do on your own, and you live in your small apartment somewhere, and your family is miles on, hundreds of miles away, and well, you wanted a baby, now you take care of it, good luck, kind of thinking. And it's so hard when you're not really sure, is this just I'm just tired with the baby, or is there something more? So it's not an easy subject to talk with anyone. And when there are big, especially now when there's a labor shortage, the lines to the to get help are weeks, months even. Like in the big cities, even the health maternity nurses say that they don't get mental health for women who are expecting, while they're expecting, because they have been given birth before they get the mental health professionals. So I think that is like the big problem in the Western countries.
Yeah.
We are relying on a system that doesn't spot this, or doesn't have a like quick lane. If you are a mother of a newborn, you should get everything right now and not weeks or months later.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for bringing that in. Then let's talk about the prevention and treatment. How is IMA working with prevention and treatment of maternal mental health challenges?
We have been talking about peer support. It is very important when dealing with maternal mental health challenges. It shouldn't, however, be the only treatment. So we always ask mothers who contact us whether they've had support from healthcare and what is their specific situation. And as Laura said, it can often take quite a long time to get help from healthcare because of long queues or a lack of support systems or something like that. And then our support is an important way to cope when waiting to get that help. What is peer support? It is mutual help, support, and sharing of experiences. A peer supporter can give another person on the same level good practical advice. Maybe completely new perspectives on things may even open up. Practical life experience cannot be read in books, right? So it's important that we have peer support. Talking to other mothers who are or have been in a similar situation is often rewarding. It can also help one to find more practical ways of coping. It is important that another person listens and understands. And specifically for mothers, it is very important. Then the unwell mother will feel like she is being heard. So in AIMA, we have right now we have 6 peer support groups around Finland who meet in person and a few virtual groups also. We've had an English-speaking group also, but unfortunately it didn't get enough participants to work. But if there will be interest, we hope we can make it work in the future. However, we have a few English-speaking peer support moms who can give personal support in English also. And in addition to peer support groups, mothers can call our peer support helpline, which answers weekly, take part in a peer support chat, or meet a peer support mother face-to-face or online. All support is also intended for those who are not members of the association and also don't have to be diagnosed. We also provide information to people, for example, at health trade fairs, and our good guidebook about postpartum depression is used in Finnish maternity clinics and everywhere where moms go when they are like pregnant or having a baby. And we also organize many events each year for mothers, couples, and the whole family. That's how we are trying to prevent and treat the challenges.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I want to stress to our listeners, if there is an interest in an English-speaking group, please reach out to Inka or Laura, and we will give their emails or whichever way.
Or if somebody wants to have an English chat.
Yeah, also, that's also
if you're
possible.
If the group meetings are hard to arrange, then we can also have an English chat.
Yes.
So like put on our website that this Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening, there's an English speaking person on the chat. And And we also, if somebody's listening and thinking that would like to help other mothers, we constantly train new peer supporters because there's a lot of need.
Yeah.
And our peer supporters are all mothers who have been through the same sickness, and we train to the voluntary work. And we also are flexible if your own life changes, you have another baby or move to a challenging job, you need to take a break, and so you take a break and then can come back to us and be a peer supporter. So we are flexible in that.
Yeah,
and the English support is very important because moms who are pregnant and having a baby outside their home country can also be exposed to depression during pregnancy and after birth. Maybe they don't have a strong support network in Finland. Maybe they are lonely or just confused more than the natives. So it's a very good thing that they know about these conditions and how to get help in here in Finland. And that's why it's good that we got to participate to this podcast, because I think there will be listeners who are in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned to you also when we were preparing for our episode today, that I host a weekly group and it's in English, and every week we have a different topic. And you were talking about the power of the peer support and just to see that you're not alone and that other people are going through it and that you can't read people's life experience in a book. And it's more than that. It's like to be mirrored, to be in the presence of other people, and also to do something for yourself together with your baby. So somehow in the way we live, we have changed our life to be completely surrounding doing everything for the baby. And everything else that we do is somehow not baby friendly. So if you imagine maybe in other countries who are not Western countries, women sitting together around the fire or, you know, cooking together or cleaning together or doing these kind of things. Nowadays, when we are alone with our baby, a lot of us are using a computer or maybe watching television or reading or not necessarily being active, especially in a colder climate. So the chance to go and sit together with women and just to eat together and talk together and the baby just joins, you know, this is really powerful experience when you are a new mom.
I mean, one of the powers of peer support is that you can see that somebody lived through all this and is doing fine now.
Survived.
I mean, that is, to many mothers, they say that was the biggest reaction on the first time, that you can survive. And things get better.
You will survive,
This is, for me, also the reason why I had decided to invite mothers with babies under the age of one. So it's kind of a wider range, in a sense. It's not like, I know of groups who will have like 4 months so that the babies are in similar age. But actually, I wanted to have a wider range so that people will see and be able to reflect. So when you get to age one, maybe it looks different. And so, you know, you can see how babies grow and develop. Even though my group is not specifically for mental health challenges, but still I see the value in that very much as well.
Yes, I mean, for perinatal mental health, you can get the diagnosis for postpartum depression until the baby is 1 year old. Because you may have like really not so big symptoms, but then when the baby is 9 months or getting to 1 year, and you should think about, are you going back to work, and things can get more stressful. And because there are hormones, breastfeeding hormones and stuff like that, some people have like a collapse in that stage. And that is important that they can come to the group. And maybe if they've been there earlier, you can spot, okay, now something is not going right, and talk about it.
And this also relates, I think, to my work as a postpartum doula and support person. It is a private service, that is something I'm aware of. But really my hope is that it will be supported financially, or at least from, you can get reimbursed by Kela or by your private insurance, hopefully in the future. But as we were talking about not being alone, I think that the role of a postpartum support person, like a postpartum doula, for example, is really to come in and be there for the family when they are alone. And if you think about it, my role didn't exist in traditional cultures, this profession. Like, we didn't pay for these things. It just it just happened. It just happened by itself. And again, it's the way we've come to live in the last, I don't know, 100 years, less even, that our evolution hasn't had time to catch up with this very quick, rapid change. And our brain still expects the village. So
That's a great way to say it.
Your nervous system feels abandoned.
I mean, I don't remember when was the research, but there was like this in the Finnish system, how many women are getting C-section unplanned because the health system isn't working, and then you finally, they are saying that don't come until certain point to a hospital, and then things are getting wrong, and then you need a emergency C-section. And when something like that happens, a new mother always needs help. And if you are going through something like you're afraid of the losing the baby and everything, and then our system is go home and come back to see the nurse in 2 weeks or whatever. Well, I think it's 1 week maybe who had a C-section, but still, we are leaving the mothers alone.
Yeah. And again, I stress this in every episode that I talk where it sounds like there's criticism on the staff. I want to just say again and again and again, we are in no way criticizing the good intention of the people who are working in these places. Yeah. We are criticizing this bigger system.
Yeah. That is important because we know there are a lot of really, really good nurses who are trying to do their best, but if they don't have the services where to put the mother in need, I mean, in every Neuvola päivä we talk with really, really fantastic professionals who can talk to us. They say that they see that the mother is struggling, but if you don't have the working path to help, if you ask about the problems but you don't have anything, any support, any medical contacts, anything for the mother,
even time,
because I mean, someone said to me, I know I can see from the mother, but how can I ask when there's another mother waiting in the hall and I don't have anything? I had just put her back with the baby to the hall because the next one is coming in. So the system is the one that is not working, and the system needs to be fixed. I mean, there's a lot of good nurses that give all their heart. But as I said, if they're less than half in the health centers.
Yeah.
And they are also mothers. They have lives beside their work. I mean, I'm sometimes wondering how they are not exhausted at all.
Well, they are.
They are, actually. Yeah, I know. But I mean, the system isn't working and it's not
for anybody.
Yeah, and it's not the nurses' fault. They are doing absolutely everything and they are doing miracles in what is given to them. But when the system is lacking enough resources, and I mean, we just last year we were with the psychologist and with there's a Finnish perinatal mental health organization, we were saying that you need to have like a quick lane. If you have, if you are a new mother who's using alcohol, in the law there's a like a quick lane. You need to get help really fast and now. But there isn't same kind of quick lane if you have mental health problems. I mean, there is a system already. You just should put the mental health on the same level.
Same criteria.
Yeah, there should be a line. For when you are having a new mother with a little baby, everything should happen really quick and like a fast lane to everything. Because with that, I mean, it would help. It would help the families. It would help the professionals. The nurses in health maternity clinics would know where to go, where to put the mother. And I mean, this is the big influence we are trying to make in the Finnish system, talking about this. Yeah. This needs to be done now when all the health and social services are changing and the areas are taking, making their own decisions. They should know about this.
Yes.
And moms should be treated as important as the baby, because when a mom is not feeling well, the baby can't get all the things he or she needs and it affects to the whole family.
So well said. Yeah, the mother is the foundation of the family in many ways, and therefore kind of the foundation of the wider society, as I like to believe. Yeah. So also in addition to stressing how much the staff, the nurses are trying, I also really find important to bring in the point of expectations. And as you said, in the Western cultures, we trust these systems. And that's when we get disappointed.
Yeah.
So this conversation is really important to just open up people's eyes a little bit to knowing what they can and cannot expect to receive from the system, and then to be able to understand, okay, maybe I need to reach out to an organization like AIMA, or maybe I need to do more in asking for help. And that can be also very difficult Because as we said, it's hard to reach out in those fragile situations.
Mm. Yeah.
But having the realistic expectations, I think, is really important.
Yeah. And what we always say in Aima, that if you are having hard time to say it, take somebody with you to the maternity clinic, to the doctor. If you are afraid that you don't open up to a new person, take somebody, friend, relative, spouse, to the clinic.
Great.
I mean, and make sure that person says aloud that you need help. If you can't ask it yourself,
right,
bring somebody who will.
So they speak it for you.
Yeah. I mean, because we know the situation isn't, you need to talk earlier because the queues are so long.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in a day or two, or week or two, maybe not even a month or two. So when you first realize there's something going on, start to speak about it.
I want us to maybe move on to the last bit of our conversation today, and that's Inka's project. So besides working with mothers themselves, how does Aima raise awareness about maternal mental health struggles?
I'm working in a project called Äidille Apua, Help for Moms, where I train social and healthcare professionals and students about perinatal diseases and how to talk about them or ask about them from moms. I've trained, for example, child health clinic nurses, midwives, doulas, social workers, and family workers. It is very important that also midwives and doulas are aware of these illnesses and can support moms with mental issues that a pregnancy or birth of the child can bring. And it is also important that they know about Aima. And still, there are many professionals in healthcare who have never heard about us and therefore can't recommend us to the moms. Also, there are professionals who don't know enough about these diseases so that they could recognize them and offer help to moms. So it is very important that we raise awareness, and that's also what I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can also depend on the person who works with a mom, if she or he really asks about how the mom is doing. It should be a priority to ask about mom's mental health situation every time the professional meets the mom. So in Äidille Apua project, we have created a tool for bringing these things up with moms. It's called Kuinka sinä voit? How are you doing? Guide. The guide consists of information about these diseases and specific tips for bringing the topic up. So it's it helps the professionals to bring the topic up and ask the right questions from moms. We hope that the guide will find its way to places where professionals are working with moms. Also, besides the project, Aima is also active on social media. You can find us on Facebook, from Facebook, Instagram, and even TikTok. We think that social media is an important channel to raise awareness and spread information, especially to young moms.
Yeah, they are there.
They are there, yeah.
And they are in TikTok, and my 15-year-old says that don't go there. I'm not there.
But we have a person in Aima who does that and knows how to do that. So we don't have to do that with Laura.
Yeah, we have a young mother for it. So
yeah, but it really works.
Yeah,
it's important.
And we also have like these little things that, like, we have this photo exhibition. Our photos are from mothers who have suffered postnatal depression and have survived, and it's I don't know the term, but voimauttava valokuva gives strength to the mothers. And the name of our exhibition is Kuka tahansa äiti, any mother.
Hmm.
It's all about how it doesn't ask where you work or how you're living, what age are you. You can still get postpartum depression And it's like an exhibition for, it has been in public libraries, so it brings information to anyone, not just people who work with mothers, but it can bring, we often hear how like neighbors can hurt new mothers about saying that we didn't have depression on our time, or you made your child, now they deal with it. It's a subtle way to bring information for those neighbors and village men and everyone that, okay, this is a treatable situation, but this can happen to anyone, and it happens to a lot of women.
Yeah.
And that is one exhibition, but it can be ordered from us, and we are sending it. It's okay. In a box all around Finland. But these are like all the different ways, there's social media, and then there is this exhibition. And of course, then there is parliament elections coming, and we are doing a lot of work to get the new politicians or wannabe politicians information how they should fix the Finnish system.
Amen.
Not yet. This is the battle's only beginning. No, not the beginning. This is like the first 25 years, and hopefully in the next 25 years.
Yeah.
Well, I hope in the next 10 years things are a bit better.
You definitely have hard work coming up for you now with these elections soon.
Yeah, because what everybody is talking about, how you should take money away from social or any services.
Yep.
So making it stand out that this is actually the cheap solution.
Yeah.
Take care of the mothers and the families right away.
Yeah.
That is the cheap way to deal with this.
Okay. I also wanted to comment just before we end on how important this training that you do, Inka, is, because as I talked about the maternity nurse in the Netherlands, she was educated to spot it and she was in the field. So educating the people who are in the field and seeing mothers daily is really, really, really important. Yeah, and having them then be your ambassadors and be able to refer people to you also is how you grow the outreach. So that's a really important project. And again, it's beautiful to see how you touch, as a charity organization, you touch on different aspects to really tackle this issue from as many angles as you can.
Yeah, we are trying.
Yeah.
We are trying because we are the only one.
Yeah. Okay. So just a reminder to our listeners, if anyone is interested in becoming a peer support mother or is interested in receiving peer support, specifically in English, but also generally, very welcome to visit the AIMA website, which will be on the show notes, and also maybe your emails, your contact details I can put there.
Course.
So people can also reach out to you with any specific points. Is there anything else to say before we finish today?
Thanks for letting us to be here and talk with you. And I hope if there's any mother who's thinking about should she get help, please do right away.
You're not
if
alone.
You need to, ask for our help and ask for the professional help.
Yeah. Good. That's a great way to wrap it up. Don't wait long and you're not alone. So that's really good and fantastic to know that you exist. Absolutely. I've seen your flyers at my Neuvola, so that's great.
Great. Yeah.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time for being here and, of course, your hard work. It's very aligned with everything I believe and do as well. So I deeply appreciate the change that you are trying to make in Finland.
Let's
thank you.
Let's make the change together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode and welcome back next week. Just before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you want postpartum support from people around you but struggle with asking for help? Do you feel awkward to have this kind of conversation? Are you not really sure what to say? I've got you covered, and I've created just the guide for you. It's a word-for-word script that will help you feel confident to have this hard conversation. You will also receive the three crucial elements for a request for help, which will turn it from a nice idea into a reality. Until now, this script has been used only by my clients, and this will be the first time that it is offered for free. It's your chance to receive a great tool which has guided many of my clients in overcoming their fear of asking for help and allowed them to build their village. Do you want the guide that will help you build yours? You can download it now by visiting motherstransition.com. Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthing in Finland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours.